14 tonight, John chapter 14. We've been in this chapter for a while, and I believe this is part three to this message that I began a couple of weeks ago or so, two or three weeks, on the title, The Lord Jesus, taken out of verse number 22 and verse number 23 in John chapter 14. I do want to encourage you to be back in the house of God, obviously Sunday, but again next Wednesday. We're going to be taking the entire service next Wednesday to focus our attention on prayer. Our brand new prayer sheet is done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Brother Bob Mann put this together, and I appreciate him doing that. And we're going to be talking to you about our prayer meeting that I've been sharing some things with you for a long time, and I'm excited to share some things with you next week, and I encourage you to be here. The fact is that we ought to do everything that we can do. That's soul winning. That's all these kind of things. But friends, unless we get on our faces and ask God to bless it, it's all in vain. We need the Lord. There's no doubt about that. And we want this church not only to be a soul-winning church, we want it to be a praying church. It ought to be a praying, soul-winning church is what it ought to be. And we want to emphasize this. So I encourage you to be back in God's house next week. John chapter 14, look at verse number 22 and verse number 23. You'll find the name Lord in verse 22. And you'll find the name Jesus in verse number 23. If you're keeping notes with me, this is part three to the message, The Lord Jesus. And I'm preaching on verses 16 down through the end of the chapter, verse 31. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 31, as we just preach through this book together. And we're looking at the Lord Jesus again tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service. Speak to our hearts, challenge us from the Word of God. May you help us to understand what you're saying. Help us tonight, I pray, to be attentive listeners. And help me, Lord God, to preach with power from on high. And Lord, may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat just to bring you up to date with where we are. As you come to these verses, we're reminded again of how the Lord has been sharing truths with his disciples in order to comfort their troubled hearts. When you come to chapter 14, he has recently told them that he's getting ready to leave them for a while. He's getting ready to go somewhere that they could not follow him at that moment. Now, no doubt when he made this statement to them, this was troubling news to these men. And in order to comfort their troubled hearts, he began to share several truths with them. And these truths included, just talking about chapter 14 here, up to where we are, it included the place that he was going to prepare for them, the promise that he was going to come back to receive them, and the provision that he was enough to make all this so. He went on to tell them and share with them to simply believe him that when he said he is one with the Father, that's who he is, and to believe him that they would do greater works than he did on earth, and to believe him that he would just be a prayer away from them even though they could not see him as they were looking at him that day. Now, before we get to the meat of the message again tonight, I want to ask us all a question. Is your heart troubled tonight? Is there something going on in your life that has you aggravated? I'm not talking about mad. I'm talking about just kind of shaken and stirred and troubled tonight. If so, you're not alone. As a matter of fact, life has its way of throwing troubles at all people of life. Makes no difference what your social status is, how much money you have in the bank, or how little money you have. Makes no difference if everybody knows your name or nobody knows your name. Everybody has troublesome times in this life. But during these times of trouble, the Lord is so gracious to use the truths of His Word to comfort our hearts. This is what he's doing in chapter 14, and this is what he's done for me, and this is what he's doing for you. So when you're going through troublesome times, learn to go to God and ask him to take his word and speak peace to your troubled heart. Now in the passage before us now, and we're just continuing with this, the Lord is still sharing truths with these men just to encourage them during this time of his departure. Now, in these verses, he's mentioned as the Lord Jesus. That's the two names given to him here. And the name Lord, remember, means master. It means controller. It means supreme in authority. It means God. That's what it means. The name Jesus here is Jehovah God, if you will. He's Jehoshua. He is Jesus Christ. Now get this. This is truly who the Lord Jesus is. He is master. He is controller. He is the one supreme in authority, and he is God. Now what we've looked at up to this point was major thought number one. We're giving you four things about the Lord Jesus in these verses. Number one, we've noticed his promises. Now, I brought these out in verses 16 down through verse 27. Let me just mention them. He gave them several promises to encourage their heart. Promise number one was he was going to pray the Father that he would send another comforter. Promise number two, he said, I will come to you in the latter part of verse 18. Promise number three, verse 19, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Promise number four, verses 21 to 25, he promised that he will love, manifest himself to, and abide with those who love him. And then promise number five, which is where we left off, he said, peace I leave with you, verse 27, my peace I give unto you. You can go back and hear those messages in detail. They are downloaded, for you. Now, the second major thought I want to give you tonight, and I'm going to try to get to 2, 3, and 4 tonight if I may. Number 2 about the Lord Jesus. We've noticed his promises. But number 2, let's notice his perspective. Now, what was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time? His departure. He was going away. He was facing the cross. He was facing Satan. He was facing temptation. And if you and I were him, our perspective might be doom and gloom. Our perspective might be, woe is me for what's getting ready to happen to me. But not the Lord. Let me show you what I'm talking about. How did he look at the cross? How did he look at what he was getting ready to go through? What was his perspective on this? Look at verse 28. Notice what he says. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. Pause. What? If you love me, you would rejoice. Here's his perspective. Because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Question, do you see anything about the cross here? It's not a trick question. Do you see anything about the cross? I don't. But I see something that we can all learn from here. In this time when the Lord is speaking concerning his soon departure from his disciples, he makes this statement that they should rejoice because he was going to his Father. Now get this. In this statement, we see the Lord telling his disciples that what's getting ready to happen to him and what they're getting ready to hear about, it was not going to destroy him. But rather, he was simply going back home. That's all he's doing. See, on this side, his departure may cause pain. But on that side, his departure would mean victory. See, he was getting ready to leave this world of pain. He was getting ready to leave this world of suffering. He was getting ready to leave this world of humiliation and to resume his rightful place with the Father above. May I say this to you? This is a great way to look at troubles and trials and pain and heartache and death in this world. It's a great way. Because friends, listen to me. He had a lot of pain in his future. He had a lot of suffering he's getting ready to go through. I mean, he's not even fell down yet and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He's not done that yet. The great sweat drops of blood have not fallen from him yet. The weight of the sin of the world has not been placed on him yet.
He knows that he's getting ready to face the devil. He knows he's getting ready to face excruciating pain. He knows he's getting ready to die, but he looks beyond it all. And he says, I'm just going home. That's where I'm going. You may think I'm going to the cross, and I am, but because I am, I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to be with my Father again. John R. Rice put it well, and he said, are they sad that Jesus is going away? Oh, they ought to be glad. In the first place, they ought to be glad for the Lord Jesus to go back to the Father, out of this sin-cursed world, away from pain and being tired. And I mean, imagine God feeling what you and I feel. Tiredness, temptation. He was getting ready to be delivered from all of that. Oh, his heart may be lonely for the streets of gold. The praises of angels, the glory that he had with the Father before, they ought to be glad for his sake. And yes, they ought to be glad for their own sakes too. For now, instead of having Jesus in one body, whom they might occasionally see or speak to for a moment, going back to his first promise, I'm going to pray the Father send another comforter, now they can have the sweet Holy Spirit living within them to be constant companion, guide, comforter, teacher, reminder, prayer helper all the time. See, it's better for me to have Christ with me through the Holy Spirit in my body everywhere I go, whatever I do, wherever I may be, than to have Christ in a human body somewhere on earth whom I could see occasionally and with whom I could have a hasty bit of fellowship and teaching. Now, we know God in spirit was everywhere. We understand all of that. But when the Lord Jesus was walking around in a human body, he was at one place at one time. I'm talking about where you could see him. You understand what I'm saying here. But because he went back to the Father and he sent another comforter, we who are saved today have the presence of God Almighty living inside of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that ought to cause us to rejoice in his perspective here. The point is his approaching death that the Lord was preparing his disciples for. He wanted them to know this death is only a stepping stone to go back home. And because of his death, he would ascend back to the Father. He would take his rightful place, and he would send them a comforter to take care of them. What a perspective. May I say this to you? The Lord Jesus Christ could have really driven and drugged these disciples through the slime pit of despondency and discouragement and doubt and fear and depression if he would have focused his attention on his pain, on his suffering, on his death, on the spittle that he's going to have in his face, on how he's going to be treated. If he would have talked to them only about that, if he'd have talked to them about the way they were going to treat him, it would have discouraged them and depressed them. But he looked with a different perspective. He said, I want you to know something. Because he knew what they were going to hear. He knew what some of them were going to see. He knew the pain he was looking at. He knew the death he was getting ready to suffer. But he wanted them to look beyond it all. He wanted them to look on ahead all the pain. Look beyond all of the physical being. Look beyond all of the physical torture. Look beyond my death and see what I'm telling you. I told you I'm going away. But if you really understand me, you would rejoice with me because all I'm doing is going home. Do you see this? Is this making any sense what I'm saying? Do you see how you and I can look at our life the same way? If you're saved tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's been a time where you've confessed your sin, you have turned to the Lord Jesus and invited Him into your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you, This life is full of troubles. This life is full of pain. This life is full of torture. This life is full of death. And every one of us are headed, I'm talking about unless the Lord comes back, we are headed for pain. We're headed for sorrow. We're headed for tears. We're headed for broken hearts. We're headed for death itself. But if you're saved, you can learn something from your Savior. And what we learn is even though that is a reality, it is not the end for the child of God. There is a great day coming out in the future. And there may be pain, there may be death, there may be sorrow, there may be hurting. But we ought to rejoice, really, when you think about it. Because really, all them things do is make us get a little bit closer home. What a perspective. What a perspective. By the way, nobody has ever faced what the Lord was facing when he made these statements. Nobody. No matter how bad it gets, you and I have never faced anything like he was facing. And he tells those men in that room, you ought to rejoice with me. Friends, I don't know if that's hitting you like it's hitting me. That's hit me right between the eyes. Because how are we when trouble hits? A lot of times, it's just like the world has fallen apart. But to a child of God, our eyes ought to be on home. Amen tonight. That's his perspective. Let me give you number three, and that's his purity. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 30. Notice the language. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Who is that? Who's the prince of this world? That's the devil. He said, the prince of this world cometh, notice this language, and hath nothing in me. He hath nothing in me. The Lord told his disciples that hereafter, after speaking to them here, and when he gets done speaking with them, that he would not talk much with them. Because the prince of this world, the devil, was coming on the scene. Then he made a very interesting statement concerning the devil. He said, the devil has nothing in me. What does that mean? Boy, it's a blessing studying this. You know what that phrase means? That means there's absolutely nothing the devil can grab a hold of in me. That's what it means. It means he's coming after me. He's going to attack me. He's going to, just pour it on me. And you're not going to hear much from me. And what he's trying to do is find something in me he can grab a hold of. He's trying to find something that he can hold on to me with. But let me tell you something now, men. He's coming on the scene, yes. You may not hear much from me, yes, but it's a guaranteed fact he will not find anything to grab a hold of. Glory to God, friends. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, I am perfect, I am sinless, and he will not find anything to cause me to stumble. It's like he's saying, excuse me, bring it on, devil. It's kind of what he's saying here. Oliver Green put it well. Here's how he illustrated it. He said, to illustrate this, we might use a crude illustration. He said, suppose we threw a lighted match into a barrel of explosives. There would be a terrible explosion, a great upheaval. But if we tossed a lighted match into a barrel of water, the water would quench the fire. And it's like the Lord saying this, I'm going to quench every fiery dart that the devil's going to throw at me. Because Jesus was God in flesh and God cannot be tempted with evil. Satan found weakness in Cain. He found weakness in Noah. He found weakness in Abraham. He found weakness in Peter. He found weakness in Moses. He found weakness in David. He found weakness in you. He found weakness in me. But he found no weakness in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's teaching. He said, I'm the spotless Lamb of God. He will find no weak point, even though he's going to launch an all-out attack against me. The prince of this world's coming. but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me.
One man put it well when he said, the meaning of these remarkable words admits of only one interpretation. Our Lord would have his disciples know that Satan, the prince of this world, was about to make his last and most violent attack on him. He was mustering all his strength for one more tremendous onset. He was coming up with his utmost malice to try the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, to try him on the cross of Calvary. But our blessed Master declares, he hath nothing in me. There is nothing he can lay hold on. There's no weakness and no defective point in me. I have kept my Father's commandment. I have finished the work he gave me to do. Satan therefore cannot overthrow me. He can lay nothing to my charge. He cannot condemn me. I shall come forth from the trial more than conqueror. That's what he's saying, friends. He's saying he's going to attack me with everything he has. He's going to try to make me fall. He's going to try to make me just shatter under it all. But I am the Son of God. I am God in flesh. He's not going to hold on to anything of me. I am sinless. I am perfect. I will come through victorious. That's what he's saying right here. That's what he's saying. And may I say this to you? We ought to thank God that we had such a perfect, sinless Savior. That his righteousness is as perfect righteousness and his life is a blameless life. In ourselves and our doings, we shall find everything imperfect. And if we had no other hope than our own goodness, we might well despair. But in Christ, we have a perfect, sinless representative and substitute. Well may we say with the triumphant apostle, who shall lay anything to our charge? In Romans chapter 8, verse 33. See, Christ died for us, suffered in our stead as our substitute, and in him Satan found nothing. And if you're hidden in him, the Father sees you in him, unworthy as we are, and for his sake, the Father is well pleased. The Word of God says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Number two tonight, we saw his perspective. He was staring the death of the cross, the sin of the world, and all of this torture and pain he was getting ready to go through with a heavenly perspective. He looked beyond it and he saw he was just going home. Praise God. We saw right here, we saw not only his perspective, but then we saw his purity. He said, from here on after, I'm not going to talk much with you men because the prince of the world is coming. He's coming after me. But I want to let you know, he has nothing in me. Can't you see him kind of rear up on his tippy toes and say, he has nothing in me? What's he saying? He's saying, I am the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And even though he's going to try to find a fault, he'll find nothing to hold on to in me. Amen. By the way, that's a fundamental of our faith. You don't think he's sinless, you're lost. He had to be the sinless sacrifice to take our place. That's his purity. But then I conclude with this thought. And this is where I apply something for you to take home. Right now, I've applied take home with you, if life's thrown you a curveball, look beyond it and look at home. Amen or not tonight, friends. We can rejoice in his purity that the devil couldn't find anything. That means we have a true Savior, friends. You see what I'm saying? But if you want to be challenged, right here it is. And this is what I conclude with his purpose. Now, I want to show you verse 31. And I want to show you what he says here. Notice this. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment,
even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Can I paraphrase? It's so challenging. If anybody thinks the Lord Jesus Christ was not a real man, they don't know who he was. If they think the Lord Jesus Christ was a sissy, they're out of their minds. Here he is getting ready to face the devil. Yes, he's God, but he's God in flesh, friends. Don't forget it. In his flesh, the devil is going to absolutely pour it out on him. He's starting to give them things to encourage them. I'm getting ready to leave you. I'm getting ready to go somewhere where you cannot follow me, not yet. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am there, you may be also. And he goes on to say, and when I go, I'm going to pray the Father that he sends a comforter to you. He'll be with you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll teach you. And I'll come to you. On and on he's going. You see what I'm doing here? And then all of a sudden he says, now you heard I'm saying I'm leaving you. You and I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the cross. But he says, if you really understand what I'm saying, you would rejoice with me. What a perspective, honestly. Because I said I'm leaving, I'm going back to the Father. That's a great lesson to learn. Look beyond troubles. We've already preached on that tonight. And from this point forward, when I get done with my sermon, because it goes into chapter 15, you understand, you're not going to hear me speaking to you much. I know you're used to it, but my voice will be silent for a while because the prince of this world's coming. The devil's coming, and he's going to attack me. He'll attack you too, but he's after me. But I want you to know something. He has nothing in me. He will not find anything to grab a hold of. And let me tell you why I'm getting ready to do what I'm doing. Because I want the whole world to know that I love my Father. And what he's given me commandment to do, I will do it. Now, men, get up. Let's go. I see in that his purpose. Let me explain this. When he told the disciples that the devil was coming and that he was going to do what the Father gave him to do because God the Father gave him that commandment, he's only obeying the Father. That's all he's doing. And he said, I'm going to obey my Father because I want the world to know I love him. And then he says, arise and let us go. In other words, he was not shirking away from what lay right in front of him. Friends, we can't comprehend it, okay? But the death of the cross, the sacrifice for sin, and what he did not go into a corner and try to hide. He said, I'm ready. Let's go. Let me ask you a question. Why did he go? And how in the world could he look the devil in the face and the cross and the weight of the world and knowing his Father would turn his back on him for the only time in eternity? And he would be literally separated from God the Father for us. How could he willingly get up and say, I'm ready, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm ready, let's go do this. Let's go do this. How could he do that? Let me tell you how. Because he loved his Father. And he loved him so much that he was willing to do anything he told him to do. Even if that meant fight the devil. Even if that meant have your beard plucked out by the roots. Even if that meant have your back lacerated to the point where they can see your inner organs. Even if it meant have spikes through your hands and your feet, thorns through your brow. I'm talking about people hitting you and mocking you, and you sit there as a dumb lamb. I'm talking about just willingly not saying a word. This is my command for you. Because this is the only thing that will save them. And at that time, he says, I love my Father so much. Let's go. Now, I don't know if you see what I'm trying to get across. One man said the world would know how great was that love he had for his Father, which caused him to become obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. See, our view of Christ's death, the subject of so many of our hymns, is centered on his love for us. And that is true. That's accurate. I'm not saying that's not accurate. But so many times we talk about his love for us, his love for us. Even the Apostle Paul said he loved me and gave himself for me. And that's accurate. That's true. But the Lord's view of the cross centered on his love for the Father. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he died because he loved me. But that's not the only reason. When he saw the cross, he saw his Father and his love for his Father. We look at Calvary and see a sin offering. What the cross has wrought for us. Jesus looked at the cross and saw a burnt offering. What the cross wrought for the Father. You see what I'm saying? One man said, the prince of this world cometh, but nevertheless I suffer him to come against me. And I go to meet him. Christ's love to the Father was thus evidenced by his willingness to allow the dragon to lay hold upon him. He's not going to find anything in him, but he is going to grab him. He is going to try to shake him. And the Son of God is willingly going to let the dragon lay hold on him. And he went forth to meet Satan to have it so. He knew what lay ahead of him. He knew how he was going to be tempted. And he knew that the devil was going to attack him with every ounce of his being. And instead of the Lord sitting back and saying, let's just wait for him to get here. He's coming. Let's just wait for him to knock on the door and open the door for him. He says, no, I'm not waiting. Let's go meet him. Shame on me when the Father tells me to do something and I say no. Amen tonight, friends. I don't care what it is. If it's knocking on doors, if it's reading my Bible, if it's going across the, I'm talking about be a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, you name it. I don't care what God the Father commands us to do, what an example the Son of God is right here. I want the world to know that I love my Father. And as he's given me commandment, I'm going to do it. Now let's all get up and let's go meet it. That is absolutely, let me tell you something. That is a true man, friends. And that is our Savior. How this rebukes those who say with their lips, I love God. And don't obey what he tells them to do. Jesus said himself, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The point is, we see the purpose of the Lord at this time was to prove his love to his Father by obeying his Father's command, even though that command meant meeting the devil and dying the cruel death on the cross. And we can all learn a great lesson here from our Lord. That lesson is our purpose on planet Earth should be to love our God so much that we are willing to obey anything he asks us to do. Anything. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you really willing to do anything. Now that's a challenging, searching question. If God said, I want you to sell your home, sell your vehicles, move halfway around the world to a place that you've never even heard of and tell them about me, are you willing to do it? It's easy to sit there and say yes. But what if he did ask you to do that? You know what we learn from the Lord? God will never ask us to do anything more than he asked his own son to do. Amen or not? Yes. And whatever he asks us to do, it will never compare to what he asked his son to do. And we see our Savior saying, the reason I'm getting ready to do what I'm doing is because my Father told me to. And I love him. And I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to prove it. Let's go. Let's go meet the devil. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad the Lord doesn't ask me to go to Calvary. We're to be dead to self, we understand. We ought to die daily, but the will of God is not like this, friends. I'm talking about he's not going to make your life miserable. Life was miserable on the Lord because of our sin. You understand what I'm saying to you. But we as Americans, let's just put it the way it is. I'm about done. Brother Gary made sure this clock's working and cleaned it off for me and everything. That's good. Let me just put it the way it is. Can I give you a personal illustration from India? We're spoiled in America. Can I put it this way? A lot of us are sissies in America. Let's not sugarcoat anything. One of the last days we were there, there was a young man in school. He said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He began to ask me about his cold heart. He said, you know, I've got a cold heart. I want to know how to keep my heart on fire for God. He said, I'm getting ready to go out to a village where they hang people upside down. And I'm willing to die for Jesus, but I just feel my heart's getting cold. Did you hear what I just said? He said, I'm getting ready to go visit a place where they hang people upside down, and I may die for my faith. But I just feel my heart's just not as hot as it ought to be. And he's asking me, how do I get my heart hot for God? Let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to go to a place where they hang people upside down to give them the gospel? Another story over there. I think it's two young men who went, I think it was two, that went to a place, went to the chief, he's a Hindu, went to the chief to show a Christian video, risking their lives to do that. This chief allowed him to show the video on the side of a Hindu temple. And wasn't it was it 200? It was 200 people who watched that video, came and wanted to be saved and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of us aren't even willing to go talk to our neighbor because they might slam the door in our face. God, give us a purpose like the Lord Jesus had. Amen. God's never going to ask you to have any purpose greater than his. What was his purpose? My Father told me to do it. I'm going to do it because I love him. Now, men, we're not going to sit around anymore. Get up. Let's go. Glory to God, friends. That's challenging to me. And I want to ask you a question. Is your perspective on life like his? Do you look beyond the tears and see home? His purity, rejoice in it, because that means if you're saved, you really are saved because he's the sinless Son of God. And number three, is your purpose his purpose? Do you love God so much that it doesn't matter what he asks you to do? Your answer is yes. And if he tells you to do it, you're not going to sit back and wait on it. You're going to get up and go do it. Simple tonight, right? Really? I need this. And I'd say, Some of us all probably need these same things. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening so well. God bless you. And I want to remind you when I speak, when I preach, I never try to preach or speak at people. I'm preaching to all of us. Friends, I need this myself. God's speaking to my heart about this. Is my perspective in life like the Lord's? Or do I let troubles and trials, hey, it's normal to let it get you down, but does it keep you down because you just focus on it and you forget about home, your heavenly home? Maybe some of you need to look beyond the trouble, beyond the pain, and look where you're headed to. Look at home. Or maybe you want to just praise God, praise the Lord for His sinlessness, His purity, that when the dragon tried to lay hold on Him, he couldn't grab anything. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you about making His purpose your purpose. And that purpose is, whatever the Father asked me to do, my answer is yes, because I love Him. And I will prove it by obeying Him. Maybe that starts with something He's been asking you to do for a long time. Maybe that starts with a coworker or a neighbor or a relative that He's been telling you for a long time, you need to tell Him about me. Tell Him about me. Invite Him to church. Give Him a gospel track. Maybe you haven't done it, but tonight the Lord's saying, I know you say you love me. Prove it. Obey what I tell you to do. Because I never ask you to do anything that I've not asked my own Son to do. As they began to play through softly, let's ask God to deal with us. Father, take it and use it. Make our perspective your perspective. Help us to rejoice in your purity, and may our purpose be your purpose. Going anywhere, doing anything that you truly command to show our love for you. Why ask Brother Gary to begin to sing? If God's speaking to you, would you get out of your seat and come? Would you do it? As he sings, you come now. Would you do that? Ask God to make
more
his perspective, your perspective, his purpose, your purpose,
Christ,
his purity. Rejoice in it.
Love to
because of his purity, you have a Savior.
Hear thou the prayer.
Come talk to God about it. Respond. Learn when God speaks to respond. Say, thank you, Lord. Make my perspective yours. Help me look beyond my troubles, look beyond my pain, even look beyond approaching death and see home. Let me rejoice in your purity. And may your purpose be my purpose. That I'm going to obey you because I love you. Even if it means death, I will obey. I will obey. I will obey. You're seated. There's folks responded. We're going to finish our service here momentarily with praying for our sweetheart dinner, and we'll officially launch our prayer meeting a couple of weeks from tonight. But as you're seated and your heads are bowed, God really does demand our all. He's not interested in half of us. He's not interested in three quarters of us. He wants all of us. Have we given Him our all? Have we laid our all on the altar? And do we love Him the way that we need to love Him? Someone asked Brother Gary just to sing one more verse. Nobody else comes. We'll close momentarily with praying for our sweetheart dinner, trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, we'll be done, okay?
More love to Thee, O Christ.
Did He love you?
More love
yes.
To
Did He prove
thee.
It? Absolutely. He wants us to do the
same
thing.
The prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, for Thee. More love to
bowed and eyes closed. Let me remind you, as we're coming to a close, about the sweetheart dinner tickets are on sale tonight. Please come. Please try to reach somebody and bring them with you. Let's pray for a great moving of God. I'm going to ask Brother Roger Cox, sir, if you wouldn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer, especially praying for the sweetheart dinner, that the Lord will lay people on our heart, that they'll be receptive and come, and that somebody will be saved as a result of this outreach. And if you wouldn't mind to pray that way, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight.